and welcome into episode number 217. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And this is the We Don't Know Either podcast. I always normally forget to say it, but this is We Don't Know Either, and I don't know how to say the title.
Yeah, Michael, we're almost halfway to the drunk podcast. Are you starting to get excited?
I'm starting to get nervous. I actually had a player the other day. He's like, you know what you guys need to do more of is the drunk podcast. And I was like, you know what we need to do less of is the drunk podcast.
Once a year is too much.
I know that the kitchen sink would appreciate less drunk podcasts.
Hey, at least he made it to the kitchen sink.
Oh, man.
Moving okay. Right along.
Okay, so last week we talked about annoying words in our language, and then that brought me down this hole of languages. And so Plenty of Fish, you guys have heard of this dating site?
Yeah, it's a dating site for people not of the younger generation, correct?
No, Plenty of Fish is young people. I mean, it's any ages, but I have a bunch of friends that are on it.
I'm pretty sure a wedding I was just at, they met on there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a great site.
Okay.
I don't know.
It started as an older thing, but then it, you know, moved out.
An internet thing starting as an older thing doesn't sound likely, but
to each his own. So they surveyed a few of their members, and if you're a bilingual man, you're most likely to receive messages if your second language was what?
Receive what kind of messages?
Like, so I'm on the app.
Oh, okay. You're going to get texted if your second language is.
Yeah. So basically, whatever. It's a way of asking, like, what's the sexiest second language?
Okay.
French.
Italian.
No. Italian is 5 and French is 7.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Spanish.
That not on the list.
Not on the list at all.
Mm-mm.
So we're assuming English is the first language,
well,
right?
Yeah, English is the spoken one. This is the second language. Norwegian is 4.
Is it one of the Romance languages?
No.
No,
I don't think
not.
So.
Mandarin?
No.
Japanese.
Japanese is 8.
Japanese is 8.
You're going the wrong direction.
Right. Flemish.
No. Would you like to know?
I would like
obviously.
To know.
German.
So women like getting yelled at is basically what I'm hearing here.
Hard consonant sounds.
How long did you have that ready? You had that right ready.
It is
German.
A very, it's a very hard sounding language.
It is. It's harsh. I mean, even compliments sound like you're getting yelled at.
Yeah, I don't know. So for women, though.
Women are weird.
Bilingual women. It doesn't say if it's...
Oh, men or women.
It doesn't say...
It just says second language. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. So that's specifically for men, but it doesn't say if it's men or women
well,
that are...
men like getting yelled at then.
Yeah, it doesn't break it down. But, okay, so bilingual women, what's their second language is the sexiest, I should say. They're most likely to get messages if their second language is what? It's not German.
Japanese.
Is it anything we just listed already?
No, I don't think so. But you guys know a couple weeks ago when I did, I guessed and I wasn't listening to the question at all, or well, just didn't process the question more likely. But it's Dutch. I'll just tell you,
okay,
it's Dutch.
Dutch.
Dutch. Yeah,
that makes no sense.
I don't know. That's what it says. So those are the sexiest languages according to Plenty of Fish users.
I don't ever remember like leaning over to a friend and going, "Man, is she speaking Dutch? That's so hot."
How often do you hear native Dutch speakers?
I don't know that I would recognize Dutch.
On my mother's side, there's a fair amount of Dutch speakers. But
okay.
I've never really thought of it as, it's in a really attractive language.
I would think growing up, you heard a lot of it, didn't you, Lindsay? Didn't you like grow up in like Pennsylvania Dutch country?
This is a common misconception. Are you joking?
No.
Oh, okay. So Pennsylvania Dutch, even though it's spelled D-U-T-C-H,
uh-huh.
It's actually German.
Okay.
So it's Deutschland.
And
so it's the Pennsylvania Deutsch. So a lot of the imagery that, you know, like the, I forget what they're exactly called, those arts and things, people associate that with Dutch culture, but it's actually German culture.
So, okay.
For example, on New Year's Day, we always have sauerkraut and pork because it is good luck. And there's I don't want to say the Amish, but the Pennsylvania Dutch tradition is very, very German. And it's Deutschland, not Pennsylvania Dutch.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right then.
The more you know. It was not. I don't know if the Pennsylvania Dutch accent where that ranks on the list. The Pennsylvania
not
Deutsch,
high.
Dutch.
Deutsch Dutch.
I do say a lot of weird things, as everyone constantly reminds me.
Yes.
Like macadam and a while and more. Too many to list on this
podcast. Macadam.
Macadam. Yeah, it's a blacktop. like asphalt.
Oh, okay.
So we're like, oh yeah, like we're gonna go out, play Oasis on the Caddem. That's the thing we say, which I didn't realize was weird until I got down here.
That is a weird thing. Yeah. That's not a thing. All right, Michael.
All right. So, you guys remember the TV show Home Improvement?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, this was kind of a cool thing that Tim Allen did. When he was on the show, he'd often wear, like, T-shirts and sweatshirts from different colleges.
Okay.
But they were all from one state.
Was it Michigan?
It was Michigan.
Right, that's where the show is based.
The show is based, but it says here Allen also considered Michigan his home state.
Okay.
So that over the course of the season, or of the series, excuse me, how many different Michigan college things did he wear?
Colleges were represented throughout the course of the show?
Right.
Okay.
Is how we will phrase that when we ask it.
I mean, I have no idea how many colleges. I would assume that, like, once people figured it out, like,
it was
all these
on
little, like, community colleges and stuff would send it to them.
I will tell you, it was on for 8 seasons, 204 episodes.
104 episodes. So I'm going to say 50.
Okay, 50?
Yeah.
Lindsay?
I'm trying to think of how many seasons that show was on, and it was a lot of seasons.
I just said it was eight seasons with 204 episodes.
Oh, 204 episodes. Okay.
It wasn't something that happened every show or every series.
Right.
And some of the – you are right. There was a lot of, like, these community colleges stuff. But there were some stuff that they were – there was a couple colleges that were repeated.
Right. Like, you probably wore the University of Michigan sweatshirt
four times, according to this.
Yeah.
I love that people have time to do this. I love the internet. I think that you're pretty close.
Like a quarter, right?
Yeah. That would have been my guess. So I'm going to put my eggs in that basket.
Okay, so 50. So just a little under, actually. 30.
30
okay. Different colleges, it looks like.
30 different colleges and probably 60 episodes or 70 episodes or something like that.
30, it looks like maybe 40 episodes.
Oh, okay. All right, so there were only a couple that were worn more than once.
25% was pretty well on, about a quarter. But yeah, University of Michigan was on there 4 times. Michigan State was on there twice.
Right.
And then you had stuff like Alpena Community College was on
there. Dearborn State College and stuff like that.
Davenport University's on here. It's just, and so, like, you have all these little things. It said that these were usually sent by the schools for them to wear on the episode.
Yeah.
And because Allen considered Michigan his home state, only Michigan schools would get the free advertising.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I thought that was a kind of cool
I'm sure
thing.
A lot of colleges send him stuff, but he's like, no, you're not a Michigan. I'm not wearing a UCLA sweatshirt.
Right.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Mine, actually, I'm switching it up. I'm changing up what my interesting fact was from what I had planned earlier in
this
the podcast.
This always goes well when
it does.
You do this.
No, this is good. I think this is a workout really well. So in 2000, Crayola did a color census. What was the most favorite color selected out of the Crayola crayon box?
Are we talking like the 8 crayon box, or are we talking like 64?
Let's call it the 64 box.
Let the record show that we have had calls with Crayola. This is serious about trivia questions before to confirm validity. And I wish I would have saved that woman's number because she was awesome. We talked to her for probably a half an hour trying to figure out what was it, the number of colors in the original boxes? Because depending on where you went on the Crayola website, this had 2 different historical facts. And she's like, I need to find this out.
It was retired. How many colors had been retired?
Retired. And then this was a finals question.
It was a finals question.
I don't think we actually asked it because Crayola couldn't come to a consensus answer by the time of
but
the
finals. But they gave us a better question about Crayola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just actually, as a quick aside, I just finished planning a family trip to the Crayola factory.
Ooh,
we're
going to
go there next month. So I'm sure I'll have a lot of crayon-related trivia by then.
Insider tips. Okay, so you're saying the color. You're looking for a specific color.
Yes. Specific color.
Red. I don't know. Crayola doesn't have a specific name for red, right? It's red?
Yes. The red family finished in second. As like family of colors.
So it's got to be blue.
Yeah, it's gotta be blue.
Blue is number one, but what specific shade of blue ranked highest?
Aqua.
Aquamarine was third.
I love aquamarine. Teal's not really. Teal's like a bluish green. Wait, Michael doesn't know.
I'm realizing now that this is probably an unfair question.
Oh, I know the answer, I think.
Okay.
Royal.
No.
Dang it.
That's not one of the colors.
Royal blue is not an option?
No.
What?
They don't have a color named royal blue.
Well, they should. Because that's a pretty standard blue color, in my opinion.
Yeah, but they don't. So some of the colors that finished inside of the top 10. Denim.
Okay. You're going to put denim blue and not royal blue? Well, ay, caramba.
You know, just with the Jaws reference alone. I'm not doing that joke.
Blizzard denim. Blue was in the top 10.
Blizzard blue,
denim blue, periwinkle.
Okay, periwinkle is definitely more of a purple.
It's a shade of blue.
I would put purple periwinkle in the purple category.
I'm sure if you shade far enough into the blue, you start getting into the beginnings of the purple.
Well, yeah, I know how colors work, but...
Well, apparently not if you think periwinkle is purple.
In my head, it's like... Michael and I were talking about this. So that dress, you know, whether you see black, a white and gold dress.
It was a white and gold dress.
It wasn't. It was a periwinkle blue.
It wasn't periwinkle. It was more...
It was blue and gold.
If you saw blue, it was more of a royal blue.
Side note, that was... 2 years ago, so just a fun little time moves quickly. I saw a light blue and gold.
It wasn't blue and gold. It was either blue and black or white and gold.
No,
if
that's
you saw
what
blue
I saw.
And gold, you are the most wrong of anybody.
Well, that's what I saw. Anyway, that's not a choice on that list, is it?
No, it is not. So a midnight blue, which would probably be the closest to your royal blue, was number two. Number one was cerulean blue.
Yeah, that was definitely my next guess.
I was going to be right there.
I'm sure Michael's now searching it to see if he can see any difference between any of those colors.
It looks really blue to me, but then again, so does purple. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I guess periwinkle is both for you. You can't settle that debate for us.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be listening and go like, wow, Michael got really quiet.
So Lindsay, just for your reference, not for Michael's, that is cerulean blue.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That is the most favoritist crayon color.
It's a beautiful shade.
It is definitely blue.
Yes.
Do you want to go with your fact now?
I already did my fact. I did Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah. That's great. I've got really...
Hey, Lindsay, do you want to go with your fact?
I didn't do my fact?
You did do your fact.
Well, I have another fact. I have a bonus fact.
Am I the only one paying attention?
Probably, yeah. Well, I was so involved in each of your incredibly interesting stories. I didn't eat yet. I need to eat again. Anyway, okay, so I went down another hole, as I say, where Time's Person of the Year.
Yes.
You know, it was early 1920s, I believe, that the whole thing got started. They pick a person for the cover, and it's a big deal, right?
Yep.
So it used to be called Man of the Year.
Sure.
And it was changed to Person of the Year. So, you know, women are people and also are important.
Are you sure about that?
I know you're kidding, but it still doesn't make me want to punch you any less.
Yeah, whatever.
So when did that change to be Person of the Year, from Man of the Year to Person?
Year.
Yeah,
that's,
what
it
year?
It had to have been right around the time of the first woman that was on the cover, right?
Right. Who do you think that would be? Because I had a guess before we got started on the podcast.
As to who the first one would be?
Yeah.
I mean, I would think Person of the Year. So like Margaret Thatcher, maybe?
Oh, see, that would have been a good guess. I thought it was way
Indira
later.
Indira Gandhi.
See, I thought they changed it when Angela Merkel was on the cover. I knew for sure she was a Person of the Year.
Okay. She was in 2015.
Was that recently?
Yeah, she was 2015. Trump was 2016. They obviously haven't announced 2017 yet. But we know this because this was a hint of the week last week. So that's why I was looking up Person of the Year. Interesting things, and I tweeted a picture of Lando Calrissian, which probably should have been a Person of the Year at some point.
I mean, was it? Well, Time Magazine didn't exist in the time of like Marie Curie, right? That was she predated they, it.
No. Oh, it started in 1923 or 1927.
Yeah, but wasn't Marie Curie before that?
No, she's like early 20th century, right?
Okay. What about Queen Elizabeth when she took over?
Oh, there
like
you
in
go.
The 50s.
Queen Elizabeth, yeah, and that was in 1953, but there was a woman before her.
All right.
Your train of thinking is wrong. I can't blame you. So the first woman that was on as Time's Man of the Year on the cover was 1936, actually.
Okay.
And that's Wallace Simpson, who had an affair with the or a romance with the Prince of Wales, and it was controversial. And so... Yeah, he became the only monarch in English history to willingly step out of the line of
wait,
succession.
Wait, no, Wallace Simpson. Yeah, that's when Queen Elizabeth father, uncle abdicated the throne.
Yeah. Well, she was on the cover.
Okay.
And then,
so you were close.
Yeah, but that's not the answer to the question.
Oh, that's not the question.
I had the right family.
Yeah, you're right. I have a guess then, if that's not the right answer.
Go for it.
Rosa Parks.
No, not on the cover.
The answer that she's looking for is a year that they also changed from Man of the Year to Person of the Year.
I wouldn't have known what the year was.
Also, I want to stand corrected on Marie Curie. She died in 1934. 34. Yeah, so.
And when did they start giving out? Well, they probably started giving out.
In the
1920s. Yeah, so, but that was still after her contributions to society.
Right.
When she would have won it in 1908 or whatever it was. So,
yeah, she won it in the early 20th century. So it was before she won in 1903 in physics and 1911 in chemistry. So yes, to your point, it was before the we're both right. It was before the man person of the year, but still in the 20th century. So anyway, year that it was changed officially from man of the year
1975.
To 1975. According to our president, quote, it was just Time magazine trying to be politically correct. That's a direct quote what he said when he won it.
So it was the introduction to political correctness. So that would be like late 90s.
Late 90s, yeah, 1999.
All right, then.
Oh, there you go.
So 1999, it was officially changed. There's only been four women on the cover, solo women on the cover. There's been like other groups. Like women was a big category in American women in 1975. Ebola fighters, I'm sure some of them were women. But
right. 2006, you were on the cover?
Yeah, you, yeah. Exactly.
That's about half the population was on the was female that year.
Yeah, per usual.
Yeah.
And then Merkel was the first solo woman in 29 years in 2015 when she was on the cover.
29. So it would be 86 was the previous woman.
Yeah, I have the list. I have the list going on. But anyway, this is my bonus fact coming at you. Yeah, 1975. And,
all right. So man of the year to person.
1986.
Of the year,
yep.
In 1999.
The first female president in Asia.
Okay.
Corazon Aquino.
So 1975 was actually all American women.
Yeah.
So you don't make that list.
No, it was not around in 1975. Wasn't around in 1975.
Yeah. So what's really funny is that I'm looking at the list now, and like the first couple of women that made the list because they were sleeping with men.
Yeah, the Bechdel test, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. When did the Bechdel test break Time's Person of the Year?
Sigh. More women on covers! Ah, it's Feminist Friday!
There are a lot of magazines that have nothing but women on the covers.
But it's not something that's, you know, this is supposed to be for, you know, their definition of it.
You know what I learned?
Influence on the world.
You know what I learned at Trivia last night? The video game character that's been on the most magazine covers.
The person who's been on the most magazine...
Video
game character.
Yeah.
The video game character. This is a question we asked in trivia?
Yeah, we asked it in trivia. I asked it last night at one of our venues.
I don't know.
It's not the obvious. It's not Mario, is it?
No, that's what most people guessed. It's not Mario. It relates to our conversation. It's a woman.
Samus?
Nope.
Lara Croft.
Oh, okay. Yeah, more than 1,200 magazine covers.
Lindsay's been crushing me in these head-to-head questions the last couple weeks.
You need to take a week off or two and try to get some mojo back, because just Lindsay's dead on and you've got nothing.
I probably 2 years now, though, of being on this podcast of just being wrong about
everything. Yeah, I was going to say, today is the first day. Last week was the first day where she broke through the glass ceiling, so to speak, of being correct.
Of being correct on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay, so I have one more topic that I want to talk about, and you actually brought this up about Google.
Uh-huh.
So Burger King is infiltrating our homes with a new ad that directly was trying to get people's Google homes to Google the Whopper.
Right.
Wait, what?
So
this is if what I think is happening, this is amazing advertising.
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
You would think in theory, right? And I bet you that's what the Burger King executives also thought until
it's just pissing people off.
Well, it's pissing people off. And the Google Home, when you'd say, it was like, you know, okay, Google, tell me what's in the Whopper, however phrasing is. You guys know how I'm scared of these robots. So.
Right.
I actually have one. I don't have the Google Home. I have the Amazon Echo Dot.
I have an Alexa.
Yeah. So I play Jeopardy every morning.
Okay.
I wake up, and as I'm running around my room getting dressed, whatever, I say, Echo or Alexa, play Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
And it plays the J6 game, which I have a ton of fun with.
Okay. Wait, does it, like, ask you a question and wait for an answer?
Yeah.
Oh, I need to start doing this.
Yes,
I did
it's
not
great.
Know it had that capability.
So it's J6. We'll get back to the Burger King thing in a second. Sorry, right. Lindsay. But the J6, it takes a 6 clue from the categories in last night's Jeopardy. And it asks you one question from each topic.
Uh-huh.
So you get 6 questions in a row, and it takes 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
I play it when I get ready in the morning. It's kind of a fun way to wake up.
Yeah. Warm up to the trivia environment you'll be spending your day in.
Right. So Burger King.
Cool. I don't like robots in my house. Well, unless it's a Roomba. I'll get a Roomba.
Yeah, I don't think they're worth it. I looked into it. I decided against it.
Anyway, so the question, at the end of the commercial, it says, okay, Google, what is the Whopper burger? And I'm sorry that if you're listening to this out loud and you're Google.
I was going to say, hold on a second. Wait, everybody be quiet for a second. Okay, Google, search the internet for district trivia. Let's see how many
phones. I feel bad for
up.
People that are named Alexa. That's got to get annoying and
I would
old
think
fast.
Be,
you think they'd make a new name for it.
You can change the name on that. I've changed mine.
Interesting.
Oh, cool. So it goes through, and the idea is that it goes to the Wikipedia page of the Whopper. And I don't know if you guys knew this about Wikipedia, but that's something you can change.
Yes, it is.
So people were changing the Wikipedia to say, and I'm quoting, "The Whopper is a burger consisting of flame-grilled patty made with 100% medium-sized child with no preservatives or fillers, topped with sliced tomatoes, onions, lettuce, pickles, ketchup, mayonnaise, served on a sesame seed bun." And then it was talking about toenail clippings, and
It's really hard to get 100% child meat without preservatives in it these days.
Yeah, but so people on the internet thought that was really funny. And the Financial Times reported and explained that Google eventually was kind of ticked because Burger King didn't ask them permission to do this.
Right.
And so they shut it down somehow.
Right.
And so it doesn't work with that particular command.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's...
this is the future of advertising.
Let's try one more. Alexa?
No.
Play District Trivia.
No, what? Okay, so I think that's going to be the secret phrase, though, is medium-sized child.
Medium-sized child. I like the glass ceiling of being correct, but we can go with yours.
Oh, I didn't know you had one ready. You got to bring that up.
I'm trying to plan ahead. But I think yours is good.
Okay, medium-sized child. I like it. We'll use glass ceiling of being correct as the title of the podcast.
Yeah, that's word. There you go.
Make sure you write that down in the notes, Michael.
Yeah.
Okay. So another episode, another stuff that I have learned. This has been
grammar not being on the list.
Grammar not never on the list. That and math.
Yeah.
This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.